Yes, he did.
All put your hands together.
Woo!
Bless him, Lord.
Woo!
Paul met the Lord on the Damascus Road. Never was the same again. Peter met the Lord, left his boat, started fishing for men. I may not be Peter Paul, one thing I can truly say, when I met the Lord and I made him my choice, he definitely made a change.
He made a change.
He made a change in the way that I'm walking.
He made a change.
He made a change in the way that I'm talking.
Old
things pass away. Behold, everything's new.
Change.
He made a change in the life that I'm living. I'm born again, saved, free, finally forgiven. He can make a change in me. He can make a change in you.
Oh, listen now.
I've seen some old friends shaking their head, cause they never thought they'd see the day when a sinner like me would praise the Lord, bow my head to pray. I'm not the one that I used to be. See, my life has been rearranged.
Oh, yeah.
It's nothing that I've done. Church, I found someone definitely made a change.
He made a change.
He made a change in the way that I'm walking.
He made a change.
He made a change in the way that I'm talking.
The
old things pass away. Behold, everything's new. Change in the life that I'm living. I'm born again, saved, free, finally forgiven. He can make a change in me. He can make a change in you.
A change.
He made a change in the way that I'm walking.
He made a change.
He made a change in the way that I'm talking. Old things pass away. Behold, everything's new.
Made a change.
Made a change in the life that I'm living. I'm born again, saved, free, finally forgiven. He can make a change in me. He can make a change in you.
He made a change.
He made a change in the way that I'm walking.
He made a change.
He made a change in the way that I'm talking. Old things pass away. Behold, everything's new.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Yes.
He made a change.
He made a change in the life that I'm living. I'm born again, saved, free, finally forgiven.
He can make a change in me.
He can make a change in you. He can make a change in me. He can make a change in you. If he can make a change in me, he can make a change in you. He made a change.
Oh, hallelujah. Out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen. Go ahead. Let's sing that second verse one more time if we can tonight. Is that okay with you, brother?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
All right.
Did he make a change in you?
Yeah.
All right. Come on.
Here we go.
I've seen some old friends shaking their head, cause they never thought they'd see the day when a sinner like Ed would praise the Lord, bow his head to pray. I'm not the one that I used to be. See, my life's been rearranged. It's nothing that I've done. Church, I found someone definitely made a change.
He made a change.
He made a change in the way that I'm walking.
He made a change.
He made a change in the way that I'm talking. Old things pass away. Behold, everything's new.
Oh, yes, it is.
He made a change.
He made a change in the life that I'm living. I'm born again, saved, free, finally forgiven. He can make a change in me. He can make a change in you.
A change.
Made a change in the way that I'm walking.
He made a change.
He made a change in the way that I'm talking. Old things pass away. Behold, everything's new.
made a change.
Made a change in the life that I'm living. I'm born again, saved, free, finally forgiven.
He can make a change in me. He can make a change in you.
Oh, he can change anybody, can he? Come on.
He made a change.
He made a change in the way that I'm walking.
He made a change.
He made a change in the way that I'm talking. All things passed away. Behold, everything's new.
He made a change.
He made a change in the life that I'm living. I'm born again, saved, free, finally forgiven. He can make a change in me. He can make a change in you. If he can make a change in me, he can make a change in you. If he can make a change in me, he can make a change in you. He made a change.
Oh, yes, he did. Oh, yes, he did. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Lord, for the change.
Yeah. Amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise for the change in your life. Amen.
Amen. It's all about Him. Amen. It's all about the Lord. It's not about us. It's about the Lord. But He's made a change in me. And I thank the Lord for that. Amen. Tomorrow I've been married 36 years and 26 of them serving the Lord. So I thank God for that. That's what keeps a marriage and makes a marriage. Pastor Dave and I'll be speaking at a couples retreat at Little Rock November the 20th. And it's such an honor that other Christian people would look at you and say, we'd like for you to come and represent couples and represent marriages and represent what God can do when He's in the midst of something. And I appreciate that. And you know, I appreciate you because I gave you last minute notice like we always do around here. We had such a turnout for those cookies. And I know others, thank the Lord, went to the funeral today. But we had such a turnout today to help us get it all done and the donation of money to help supply for the cookies. Deliverance always comes through. It always comes through. And that's because of God. That's not because of this small group, but it's because of the Lord. But I thank God tonight that He don't just look upon the mega churches, but His eye is even on the sparrow tonight, and that His eye is on us tonight. And it's always so good when we get some encouragement and nice things said and thought about us. And today I know in one of the classes, they made little cards today. Maybe you got a little card. I got a little card today. And I make notes of when I get them sometimes and who they're from. Beautiful flower with a heart and a butterfly. And it says, Dear Grandma, thank you for everything you've taught me. Thank you for being the pastor. I love you. Do you know how much I will always treasure that she thinks I taught her something good? And when I can get discouraged and it seems like... told Brother David recently, like you're beating your head against the wall. Is anybody listening? And here comes your little breath of fresh air. And says, thank you, Grandma, that you've taught me something. I just appreciate that so much. But I appreciate the Lord. And I know tonight that I told you this morning that we're going to be answering the biggest question of the hour. What is the question of the hour? Amen. And I know all of us would want to know what the question of the hour is. You may think with all that's going on in the world that the question might be, what's next? But we'll soon be addressing what the main question of the hour is. I'd like for you to turn with me tonight, if you have your Bibles. I didn't tell Sister Linda, but it's Matthew 24, Sister Linda. Verse 1, Matthew 24. And I'm going to read through it kind of rapidly, but I want you to listen. I know that when we read through the Bible, we read words. We read words. We need to stop and study like we're supposed to do and let those words come alive to us. This morning we talked about being martyrs for the Lord, or talked about being witnesses. I told them that meant we're going to be martyrs for the Lord, not just tell somebody about Jesus, but stand up for what is right until the Lord calls us home. It's a big difference in being a witness and being a martyr. So we need to know what these words mean. When I give scriptures out in my Sunday school class, I can tell you who's going to look them up. Who's going to bring me something extra? Who's going to just help us get through this? Because our job, Brother David's been telling us, if you've been writing down the titles, God's saying something to this church. He is saying something. It's not just here at Deliverance. I'm sure it's in the churches around us. I know in some of the things that I study that comes in the mail, a pulpit series, every one of their titles, every one of the titles has been aiming at the church in the last days. In the last days. Now's not the time to decide, I don't think this is the last days. This is the last hours and possibly the last minutes. Because everything that God said would happen is happening. Amen. He's going to gather his faithful together because there's a grand event fixing to take place. Amen. As we're going to be called off to heaven, and there's a great tribulation coming on this earth. But tonight, as we go to Matthew 24, the destruction of Jerusalem's being predicted, and it says Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. This was a marvelous temple that is made out of marble. And he's taken them as we could do today and show people the grand things that we have in this country and in this land. And I believe the Lord would look at us and say, don't get caught up in that, because there's not one stone going to stand when it's all said and done. Amen. It's not going to be in what a man possesses in material things, but it will be in what we possess in our spirit. Amen. It will be whether or not we have sought God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Brother David said this morning, prosperity is all well and good, but the most prosperity we can obtain is in the spirit. For there's not a man that is rich unless it is in the things of God. Amen. In the things of God. But Jesus is telling them, they're in awe of all these great things, just like we are today. We're in awe of all the new technology and all the things that is going on. And the Lord letting him know, these things aren't going to be forever. Don't get caught up in all this. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the best view he had, the disciples came unto him privately saying, tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? What's the sign, Lord? You know when it is. When is it going to be? We need to know, Lord, when is this end coming? We all know if we knew exactly the day and the hour, we know where our lives would begin to turn. Somebody was telling me how the hurricane kind of turned and then went again. Well, you could track our spiritual walk, how it would turn if we knew the day and the hour that the Lord would call the church away. But there were signs that the Lord told them that was going to take place before this coming of Christ. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed. Take heed that no man deceive you. Take heed, church, that no man deceive you. As we'll touch in a minute, there'll be many false messiahs. There'll be many false prophets. But they won't take heed for your soul. You take heed that no man deceive you. And how can we know whether we're being deceived? Because we have to study. We have to know what the Word says. I hear, we talked about in Sunday school, and then the pastor brought it up this morning, that you can ask almost anybody nowadays, are you saved? Do you know Jesus? And everybody's a Christian. But they don't know the Lord sometimes. They don't know the ways of God. They don't know His Word. And God said, you will know them by the fruit they bear, not by the words of their lips. It's so easy to say, Lord, Lord. But He says, it's He that doeth the will of the Father. Amen. And we've heard it a lot around here lately. Are you doing the will of the Father? Amen. Not our will, Lord. I think God's trying to tell us something. Crucify the flesh. He told me that in the middle of the night about 2 weeks ago. I woke up, what can I do, Lord? Crucify the flesh. There's nothing you can't do when you crucify the flesh. There's nothing you cannot do when the flesh gets out of the way. Because God said with Him, all things are possible. Amen. Through with the Lord. He said, what are the signs going to be? And He said, don't let anybody deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Now, Lord, many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Now, we think of that saying, oh, I would know the difference. I would know who Christ is. I've always thought 20-something years of reading this word, how is these things going to be? I see people right now being so deceived, so blinded, listening to every wind of doctrine, reading out of any kind of book, listening to any kind of people. They'll turn the radio station or TV station and this preacher will tell them this, oh, praise God, hallelujah. And you can turn it and the preacher over here is telling you something totally different. Oh, praise God, hallelujah. Well, I don't know about you, but I got to know in what I believe. I got to know in what I believe. I've told this before. It was when I first got saved, and a lot of you know, Whitfields are known as deliverance preachers. Brother Tom Whitfield is definitely known as deliverance preacher. And I'd hear some people saying, God don't put anything bad on people. And I'd hear everybody else saying, well, He's going to knock you down and beat you up and get you where you need to be, you know. I was like, man, now I can't just listen to my father-in-law because he's my father-in-law. And I can't just listen to this man on the TV because he's on the TV. What am I supposed to believe? But you know what? God didn't just save me. He gave me the Holy Ghost. He gave me discernment of the Spirit, and He gave me the Word. Amen. Because I said, now, Lord, when things come my way, I don't know whether I'm supposed to thank You for it or rebuke the devil. What do you do? I have seen people that came up. Now, why in the world they came up for healing, I do not know, but this is true. I would not lie to you. They came up or stood up, and one of the brothers just said, we need to pray for you, brother. I know your back's in pain, and we'd like to pray for you. Oh, no, brother, I appreciate that, but God afflicted me with this pain. Okay, enjoy it. Sitting there scratching my head. Now, let me see. Can I find a scripture for that one? I didn't know what to believe. You can hear anything. But God said, you'll know the truth. The truth shall, what was Brother Anthony telling me it'll do? It'll make you free. Almost nobody knows the truth will make you free. They all think it sets you free. Y'all are such nitpickers. Aren't we, though? Amen. He said, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many, and you shall hear of wars. Don't just listen to the words. Put yourself in a situation tonight where there's false prophets in the land now, and they're trying to tell you things about Christ that's not true. They are talking about wars. They're talking about rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. Well, how could you not be troubled? Let's go on to see. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Now, this is sounding pretty serious to me. It's not just words I'm reading. There's some bad events fixing to come on the scene. There's some bad things getting ready to happen. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines. Starting to see a beginning of a famine in this land. We've already seen a famine of the Word. Well, see, we don't think so because we have the Word right here. We believe in, we pour out scriptures. When you go to a church, I heard this years and years ago from a TV evangelist, and I made note of it. If you ever go visit churches, and including here, make note of how many scriptures you get and how much opinion you get. Because I've heard that in some places it's very little scripture and lots of opinion. Here everything is put on the board. You know, it's scripture after scripture after scripture. So therefore we are seeing for ourselves and learning. We don't need a famine of the word. The word's the only thing that's going to keep us. Amen. But there is a famine and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places, many places. And all these are the beginning of sorrows. What? Earthquakes, pestilence, the beginning, wars, famines. Think of being in this, not reading about it, but think about being in it. And then the scripture's telling me, okay, Connie, you see all these coming about? This is the beginning. This is just the beginning. I'm not used to living in that. I live in plenty. I'm not used to this, Lord. This is written, people, to the church. It's written to God's people. It's a warning. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. Wouldn't it read better if it just said they shall offer you up to kill you? This is going to be a drawn out thing, you guys. They're not going to just take our heads. This is not very pleasant, is it? Oops. And you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. What? Because we believe in the Lord? Because we say the name of Jesus? Because we tell people there's still hope in the Lord? That we're going to be hated because we believe in Jesus? We think we've not seen that, but we're seeing that. Don't you pray in that school. Don't you say the name of Jesus. Don't carry that Bible. And there's almost not a school that'll let you take a King James, and they even go by the name of a Christian school. But if you take a King James, there's some threatening going on there. Why? Why are people so jumpy? Why are people so jumpy when you mention Jesus if he's not all that? He's a great threat to people, or it wouldn't be all that, would it? In our country, we're worshiping many gods now. We have mosques, we have synagogues, we have all kinds of buildings that are worshiping all kinds of gods. So we're not one nation under God anymore. These things are serious things tonight as I speak to you. Then when these things begin to happen, and then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Sounds like we'll turn on one another because this one believes this and this one believes that. You know why? We got to stand for the truth. And God said it wasn't going to bring us together. He said it was going to separate us. He said it would separate families in standing up for what is true. And you know, I wouldn't want anything to separate my family. But the thing is, God is our family. We have to stand true to the things of God. Amen. True to the things of God. I hope you realize that as these things come on and people are being offended, that they're going to hate you. Regardless of what you think of the new vice president candidacy, Sarah Palin, they said that she will tell you that she's a Christian, but said that she doesn't tell you she's Pentecostal. And I thought, well, hey, there's good reason for that. The churches, the people have already started mocking and saying, you know, she's from one of them churches that believe in the Spirit. Hello, the last I heard, God is a spirit. God is a spirit, people. Amen. Praise God if they can get people in there that know that God's alive and God's well. Because the very next scripture tells us, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because this is going to happen, they're going to be saying, come out here. What y'all hearing over there? I've had people say, you don't have to live like that anymore. Come on over this way. And they get you over that way and they promising you this, that, and the other, and they have nothing to deliver. They have nothing to deliver. But the Lord has given us directions. Don't let any man or woman deceive you. You go by what the scriptures say. You know this word for yourself. Amen. That we cannot be deceived. God said if it were possible, the very elect would be deceived. Well, why aren't the elect going to be deceived? Because we got something inside called discernment, amen, of the Holy Ghost. And even if you don't know the Bible verbatim, word for word, when you hear something that's not right, there's something in your spirit that should say, this is not of God. This is not of God. Amen. 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 He said, and because iniquity shall abound, if we would allow it, we would become so vexed by what we're seeing all around us. From what we're even seeing in the church world, we could get so down and so vexed. And God said that because of iniquity shall abound. We talked about the Holy Ghost this morning, and I meant to get to the fact people say, well, you know, we used to have all this great move of the Holy Ghost, and we don't see a move like that anymore. You know why? Because of this scripture right here, and because iniquity doth abound. Iniquity doth abound. Church people used to watch what they let their eyes focus on. They used to be careful what went in those ears. They'd be careful what rolled out of this mouth. Amen. They would be careful what people thought about them. Amen. They knew that just like that message this morning, it's not about me, but it's about the kingdom of God. That when they see me, they've got to think good of the kingdom of God. Amen. That's why, you know, when things that we lay down and things that we give up, it's not because we want to do that. It's about the kingdom of God. Amen. To do what's right in the eyes of the Lord. But he said, because iniquity shall abound. You're going to see so much around you that the love of many shall wax cold. That the love, God is love. He's love. But you get around, you start saying, I don't see no love. The love of many is going to wax cold. They're not going to love you the way they used to love you. They're not going to lay down for you what they once would lay down for you. Because the love of many is waxing cold because iniquity abounds. You reached out to help this one out of the goodness of your heart. And look what come back on you. Look what come back in your face. And you'll start seeing that. And you reach out to this one. You say, man, you know, I did this and I did that. And look what they did. And if you're not careful, the love can wax cold. To say, I don't care anymore. I don't care anymore what they do. But you know, if you're a true child of God and you stay in the Spirit, you just can't say that. You might can say it, but you can't stay there. Like Elijah, you got the fire shut up in your bones until the Lord calls us home. I want to be talking about what God's done for me. Amen. The Lord is good and the love of many shall wax cold. So don't think it a strange thing when you don't always feel such overwhelming love that we should feel. Brother David said it this morning. The church could come together in one accord and unity. And especially, what can't this church do? I've seen you do it. I've seen us move into a building debt-free after 10 months. I've seen even Brother Walker himself rolling out in the heat. All of us walking in, rolling out wire and fixing concrete and putting sheetrock and painting and all of us working together. What can't God do? You know, anytime we say, look, this needs to be done. Last year, you just really came to the front to say, this has got to be done. When Brother David comes back, we got to have something for him to come back to. And God held us together and brought us through victorious. Amen. What can't God's people do? We can do all things through Jesus Christ, which strengthens us. Amen. Just make sure it's through Jesus Christ. The opposite of our hearts growing cold would be that we could still be compassionate. We could still be tender. We can still turn the other cheek. We can still say, I can walk one more mile. And I can smile one more smile. And I can shake one more hand. And the next step I take could be streets of gold. The next hand I shake could be the hand of Jesus. Amen. The next smile I see could be his smile. Do you know that's the truth? That you're closer now than you were when you came in the building. Do you know that the Holy Ghost is in our midst tonight? Do you know that I feel Him as I stand up here tonight? Do you know you can still feel God, Sister Vanessa? Do you know you can still hear from the Lord? Amen, amen, amen. But if your heart waxes cold, you know, there was some that I said, just said this morning, we got to have a part in this ministry. We got to have a part. I'm thankful for Kevin and Hazel Lee bringing this to our attention to allow us to take part in the prison ministry. I told them when we were praying over the cookies, I was a prisoner. You were a prisoner. We were prisoners. Had Jesus Christ not sent some love our way? Amen. And you know what? You don't know love until you know Christ. You don't know love. Amen. We know some love. I know that I love Brother Dave, and I know Brother Dave loved me when we were teenagers. But boy, with the day and the hour he got saved, I knew what it was to be loved. It was a different love than what we had before. It was agape love. It was God's love mixed in with our love. Amen. The love of God. That when I have fallen down on my journey, the Lord said, get up, dust yourself off and go on. No pity party. We got work to do. Get over it. Some of y'all used to really give me and one of the sisters a hard time when we'd say, oh, well, get over it. Why? We don't have time. That's what Brother David was saying this morning. Y'all, it's not about us. My feelings has been hurt 10 billion times since I've been serving the Lord, and it's my fault for letting them get in the way. But it's not stopped me from serving the Lord. Amen. Why? Because there's something bigger than Connie. I got a place I'm going to that's bigger than Jedburgh. Amen. It's a lot prettier too, Brother Donald. It's going to, what a sight to behold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Endure unto the end. All these things I talked about. But there's a question of the hour. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Then shall the end come. When all these things have taken place. And throughout, even in the following of that chapter, you'll hear God sending out warning after warning after warning, and things that's going to come during the great tribulation. I got up, it's probably been 2 or 3 weeks ago, about 3 o'clock in the morning, and went in there, and history was my least favorite subject in school. But as you know, Brother Dave keeps up with politics a lot. And because of the world right now, I've become more interested in what's going on. And I hear people on the radio saying the church shouldn't be involved in politics. But the things that politics deal with today is gay marriages, abortion, all kinds of Bible issues. And in the days of old and through Bible times, it was the priest who ruled the countries. So how could these people come up and say it's not a place in the church? The church is what holds back right now the Antichrist. And we are losing ground. We know he's coming on the scene, so now's not the time to give up. But I hear so much about, oh, we're going into communism, socialism, capitalism, all kind of isms. And I'm like, I'm not even sure I know what all these isms are. So at 3 o'clock in the morning, so I had to know it was the Lord, because I mean, I've been hearing these isms all my days. I decided to look up all these isms. Democracy, a government in which the people hold the ruling power. That's what we're supposed to be. Governed by the people, for the people. You know what that means? We kind of have a say-so. Right. Government in which the people hold the ruling power. Majority rules. That's why they make you think we need to go to the election polls. The principle of equal rights, opportunity, or the practice of this principle. I kind of like that. The people hold the power. If I held the power, you wouldn't be paying 37%, 47% taxes. We are to have the power in a democracy. When I looked up capitalism, the economic system in which all or most of the means of production and distribution is land, factories, railroads, etc., they're privately owned, I can see a lot of that in America, and operated for profit. Originally under fully competitive conditions, like businesses competing against each other. It's been generally characterized by a tendency toward concentration of the wealth, and in its later phase, which is where I think we would be, by the growth of great corporations. Don't we see great corporations? Increased governmental control. The principles, methods, interests, powers, influence of capitalists, especially of those with large holdings. So the rich people kind of rule things. So we've kind of leaning now toward into this capitalism. But everybody's telling me our candidates, a couple of them now, is really pushing for socialism. Well, we've been to seminars where they show maps of how the government repeats itself and what comes after socialism. So I listen and I hear these things. History repeats itself. Socialism, any of various theories or systems of the ownership and operation of the means of production and distribution by society or the community rather than the private individuals, with all members of society or the community sharing in the work and the products. Does that sound good? What happens is, right now, there's a lot of giveaway programs that people's interested in, and they're going out there taking advantage of it. But when everybody is taking advantage of it and the system's broke, they're going to say, now everyone has to go to work. We're not getting enough in from that 37% tax. We can't support the whole world on the few people that's working. So every man, woman, and child gets up early in the morning, goes to work. It's Marxist doctrine. It's the coming of the capitalistic. It's between the capitalistic stage and communism, in which private ownership of the means of production and distribution, private ownership, has been eliminated. It's no more what you own, but it's what the government allows you to own. It spread it out evenly. And the reason I say that, and a lot of you don't know a lot of this stuff, but we need to know. And I, like I said, history just, ugh. But this weekend, big, some of the biggest names you'll ever hear, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac was taken over by the government. That's mortgages on people's homes. The government now owns most of the homes. So this is a big deal because the wealth now is in the government. It's not in your hands. Okay, Sister Connie, that sounds kind of scary, but what's next? Communism is any economic theory or system based on the ownership of all property by the community as a whole. It belongs to everybody. A stage of socialism is formulated by Marx, Engels, Lenin, and others to be characterized by a classless, no classes, and a stateless society. An equal distribution of goods to be achieved by dictatorial rather than by gradualistic means of state planning and control of the economy. A one party political structure. You're hearing that in the campaign right now. And an emphasis on requirement of state rather than the individual liberties. You have no rights. It's what the government decides you can have. Now, we know this is what's going to go on in the economical portion of our society. What's going to go on in the spiritual portion of our society when they tell us what we can believe and what they can distribute one upon another? So the biggest question in this hour, since I've given you all this doom and gloom, Christians all over the world know that we're living in the final days. Even the secular commentators know that these are the last days, if you hear them talk. They also know that this is not the most important question for us, is what's going to happen to our economy. But the question of the hour is this: will my faith endure what is coming? Will my faith endure what is coming? As I see people in the church, and we face obstacles in our life every day, things that want to trip up our faith, and little things can trip up our faith. Will my faith endure the things I just read about? Will my faith endure when I said, Lord, I prayed about this, and where is the answer? And at the moment that my faith begins to start failing, there's something called doubt that's going to move in. We have not been faced with very many of the things I talked about tonight, and I'm here to tell you, I've seen faith failing and I've seen doubt coming in. How do you know that? When we know, we once believed that we came down in these altars and cried and wept and prayed for hours, the great move of God would take place. If people still believe that today, they'd be down in these altars, they'd be crying and weeping and seeking the face of God for a great move. But something has happened, perhaps, that hardened their hearts a little bit, and doubt came in. You would come up here and be anointed when you were sick, but maybe doubt came in because you came up one time too many and didn't receive that healing, and something bad took place, a little seed of doubt. The next time something come up, you said, well, it didn't work for me the last time, so you didn't go up this time. If we're not careful, we get further and further and further, and we begin to feed on a seed of doubt. So the question of the hour to the church and to the Christian is, will my faith endure to the end? Will my faith endure what is fixing to come upon this earth? Amen. The impact, what would the impact be of all these things that we talked about? The Lord said, will the faith of God's people endure all these shaking things? But Jesus promised that those that endure to the end, remember I just read that, the same shall be saved. He just described the different things that could come against us, the false prophets, the wars, the persecutions, martyrdom, dying for the cause of Christ. Many people are going to come in the name of the Lord, and they're going to deceive many. I don't want you to be one that's going to be deceived. What would the impact of all these things be on the church? Those who call themselves by His name. Are you getting ashamed to tell people that you're servants of Jesus? People are beginning to look at you different when you say you're servants of Jesus. People are not standing up believing the way that they need to believe. This particular author wrote a book 10 years ago, America's Last Call, on the brink of financial holocaust. That was put out 10 years ago. And he predicted in that book, he said, in the very last days, there would be events like the meltdown of the bond market. God's judgment would strike the U.S. economy. A brief sense of prosperity and security. There'd be a real estate meltdown, which we have seen. There would be a rise of homosexual power. This was written 10 years ago. A sudden storm of confusion would take place on Wall Street. God's watchmen and prophets would be silenced. One thing, and the U.S. dollar would collapse, and America would lose control of its economy, which we almost did this year already. And even with them buying out these companies this weekend, we're in political madness. I am hearing people stand on worldwide TV, politicians who promised us all kinds of new multi-billion dollar programs that they cannot produce. We're in a nation that is flooded with debt, and these are lies to the American people. Yet the Church of Jesus Christ, the real issue tonight is not the economy. It's not the collapse. It's not even who's going to preside over our nation next year. But it is all about enduring faith. It's a last minute message. Because we know that our faith needs to increase right now. It needs to increase, not decrease. We talked this morning about the Holy Ghost. It was to give us boldness in the last hour. It's to give us boldness in the last day. We have a voice and we need to use it. The church does not need to be silenced. When you see something that's not right in the church, please make it known that this is not right. Amen. When you see something that's not done right, we need to use our voice because we're God's voices. Amen. It doesn't mean that it'll be so easy, but that's what the Holy Ghost is for, to give us the boldness to say, I've got to make a difference. I've got to make a change. I've seen one woman in God in this church make some major changes in some schools and some different things. Even this past week I heard of just something they said, and it changed the whole situation of what was going to be. Now, you never know. The squeaky wheel does get the grease. Women, you know that. Don't pretend like you don't. Are we trusting in the Lord tonight? When this world plunges into chaos, you got enough faith to say, hey, God's never left me. He's never forsaken me. Nor will he do so now. But as you see different afflictions coming and different fearful things, and the hour comes to pass, is your love going to endure? Not to judge anybody tonight, not to condemn anybody, but for you to ask yourself, what is going to happen when my husband gets a diagnosis that's not supposed to come to my house? What am I going to believe? God, you failed me. You let me down. We're not supposed to have these kind of situations. What happens when the husband doesn't have a job anymore? What happens when bad things come your way? Does your faith in God falter? Or is that when you say, God's in control of it all? As we heard this morning, the steps of a good man or a woman are ordered by the Lord. And if I'm walking every step of the way knowing God's ordering my steps, I'm not going to get in any trouble that he can't get me out of. Amen. Remember what I tell you, when we run into a situation, I'm not in a situation. I'm in the Lord. God, we're in a situation that we need to get out of. And you know the way. But we don't do that sometimes. We try to fix our situations. I've told this story many times. It is fine to tell it again because it's so true. But the only thing with being pastors 20-something years, we tell the same stories. So you've heard the little story of the little boy with the big rock, the big boulder, and he's trying to push it. And he's trying to push it. And he's trying to push it. And it won't move. And he's getting all frustrated. And he's getting all upset. And he tries to push it some more, and it won't move. Finally, he just wore himself out, and he's in tears. And the dad's standing there watching him. But he still keeps trying to do it by himself. And finally, he looks up, he says, the dad tells him, said, son, you know, all you had to do is ask. And the father just moved the stone right over. Where the little boy would have spent maybe years growing to enough strength to move that rock out of the way, we could call upon a heavenly father that says, put your trust in me. That the Lord's there to help us. We're the church. I love the meat of the word we've been getting recently that I know has been helping me to get my weapons ready for a last day battle. That's already won, by the way. All I got to do is join in. But if he sees me deciding to sit down, to quit, to run, to give up on the brink of the greatest miracle, to step into heaven, just a few more days to labor, if it's even a few more days, and the Lord's going to call us home. But Christ asks, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Shall he find faith? How about enduring faith? Will it endure for a while? or when the prayers are not answered, and when the deadlines are turned in and your requests are not met, are you going to fall into unbelief? Why? Because their faith has no roots.
Right.
You did run well. Who did hinder you?
Right.
He hath no root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. But the Lord said, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. Amen. It makes a difference how we feel in the things of the Lord. Makes a difference what we say. It makes a difference what we believe. It makes a difference if we endure. We are soldiers, as Brother David reminds us, in the Lord. We are soldiers in the Lord. You've been trained to undergo hardships and spiritual battles. You can do it. Not only can you do it, you can win. You can be victorious. The word says that for perfect, that if our heart is perfect toward him. And some people get upset when you use that word perfect. But the word perfect is wholly given to him in trust. I know, church. I know. And like I said, some of us have been serving God for a long time. I know that if you come up and ask one of us, do you trust God? There's no way we're going to say no. But when you get to examining your life every day, do you wholly trust the Lord? He's going to see us through. He's going to get it. We're going to have enduring faith that we're going to walk victorious in this last day. We're not going to sit down on God. When people throw us stumbling stones, we look at them a little disappointed, I'm sure. But they're my stepping stones because I'm going to use them as the little donkey and the whale. He kept throwing the dirt to bury him and he shook it off and stood a little bit higher. And when you think you have no more strength, as I can witness to standing right here tonight, the anointing of the Lord comes on and brings a strength that says you can go one more mile. See, we look at things saying, where will I be this time next year in my Christian walk? My question is, where will I be the next minute in my Christian walk? I might not, and I've told this before also, when it come to coming to serve Christ, getting down on my knees, asking God to forgive me of my sin, was not brought up in a church, did not know the Word of God, just knew that I didn't know anything about that Christian lifestyle that was far from where I lived. And to go to an altar and get saved, I am here to tell you, I got up saying, I have no clue what I'm supposed to do. Have no clue what to do now. And I appreciate when I heard somebody say, I don't know that I could serve the Lord the rest of my life. Well, could you serve him for 1 year? I don't know if I can serve him for 1 year. Could you serve him for a month? I don't know if I could serve him for a month. Well, maybe you could serve him for a week. I don't know if I could serve him for a week. A day. I bet you could serve God for a day. You know, I don't know if I could serve God for a day. Well, how about an hour? Don't know. But I can live it 1 minute at a time. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Quit looking 50 miles down the road. Amen. But look 1 minute. Hallelujah. Will my faith endure to the end? If we can have someone come to the piano tonight. And I want you to ask yourself, God, prepare me for this last day. As I told Brother Anthony this morning when we were studying the Holy Ghost, I said, you know what I got out of this message? We need a refilling of the Holy Ghost. We need this power operating in our lives that we can give people a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, a gift of healing. Amen. Discernment of the Spirit and what we have need of to make it the last mile of the way. Amen. Not about to give up now. Amen, amen. As Sister Katina comes around tonight, I so appreciate you all coming. I'm sure word didn't have time to get out. I was speaking. The pews are not packed tonight. But God has sent us a last minute message. Don't give up now, people. Let's all stand. Let's all stand. Lord, give me faith that'll endure to the end. Help my faith to increase. As they sing tonight, make your way to the altars, or at least your way to your knees. God, give me faith to endure through what's about to come on the face of the earth, Lord. If the tribulation was to come in the rapture of the church tonight, God, let me make heaven my home. Let's make a way tonight, church. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Refill us with the Holy Ghost. Refill us with fire, God. We got to make it, Lord. And one of our brothers, Lord, who is buried today, God, and he started a long journey with us, God. Lord, we got to make it. I just got to make it, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If you don't know the Lord tonight, make sure that you don't leave here without him. In the name of Jesus.